I want to start a new series on Wednesday, talking about the character of God, that God is love, and then specifically, I want to talk about our commandment to walk in love, and I want to show it to you. And I've got several scriptures. How many know you can find a lot of scriptures in love in the Bible? Okay. So I just want to start to dig in, and I'm telling you what, this is going to be a rich, 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 rich series. One of the things that Paul says, he says, you know what I would prefer? You know what I pray for you? That you would have an understanding of God's love. And there's something about understanding God's love that helps us to love. But I want to dig a little bit about who God is and his love for us and his commandment that he asks us to walk in love. How many know when you become a Christian, how many know there's a lot of benefits to becoming a Christian? Let me try that again. How many know there's a lot of benefits in... Come on, I'm looking. Where's my Pentecostal group, okay? I'm asking. You know, no, listen. This is really important. And not to do something just to do something, but there's something important. Listen, let me teach you something. Let me tell you why it's so important to be engaged. Because you can sit there and you can listen to one of the greatest sermons in the world and get little to nothing out of it. You know, I read a great book when I was in college, and I believe it wasn't a textbook. It wasn't given to me. It just the Holy Spirit dropped it in my lap, and it was a book, small little paperback book called How to Study. And this person understood that the more that if I'm a talking head, in other words, if I'm the only one talking, if I'm talking and you're just listening, there is little transfer of understanding. But if you will, you know what, like Mike has, if you'll have a pen, if you'll have a notepad, if you will engage, so you know what, you're going to receive more. Amen? How many like a cheese pizza? Raise your hand if you like a cheese pizza. How many like a pizza? And I'm not saying, you know what, maybe you don't want tomatoes, but how many like a pizza with everything on it? See, exactly, no onions, no cebolla. But here's what I'm saying. I want to get, you're here. Let's get everything out that we can get. So if you don't have a pen or a pad, you know what, make that adjustment. Amen? Don't say, no, that's not how I roll, Pastor. No. Make that adjustment. But one other adjustment, so in this book, they said, don't ever read. Don't ever read without a pen in your hand. So, well, what is a pen in my hand? And here's what he said. He said, that author, if all you do is read what that author said, you won't retain very much of what you read. But if you will read with a pen on your hand, and if you will underline things, and particularly if you'll make notes in the thing, this is great, I think this is dumb, you know what, amen to that. Some kind of interaction, then there's going to be a intensity in your receptivity. And let me tell you what, it's not about everybody look at the wall. Notice, everybody look at the wall. Notice it doesn't say, Jesus didn't say, come and hear. He didn't say, come and hear. What did he say? He said, come, hear, and do. And so you'll do so much more of what you remember, and you will remember more if you engage. Somebody say engage. So I'm not trying to raise up a Pentecostal church. I'm trying to raise up a biblical church. Does that make sense? I'm not loyal to any denomination. I'm loyal to God. And I understand my responsibility. So what I'm saying is, And you say, "Well, I'm just quiet." Well, become uncomfortable with comfortable. Stop telling God who you are and start allowing God to form you and to shape you and to change you. Does that make sense? No, this is how I am. No. I don't believe that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. How many been coming to church? You know what? And maybe it wasn't this church, but you've been coming. You're a church person. You've been in church for over 20 years. Raise your hand if you've been in church for over 20 years. Raise your hand real high. Over 20 years. Johnny, have you been in church over 20 years? Okay. Raise your hand real high for me. Okay. So listen to me. Keep your hands up. Listen to me. There's a tendency. I'll be short. There's a tendency for people who've been in church for over 20 years to think, now I'm not saying you, I'm just saying it could be you, to think you already, you know it all. I said, "Pastor, are you trying to offend?" No, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to be real. Amen? Can we be real? How many been in church for 10 years or 20 years? Raise your hand if you've been in church for over 10 years. So that includes all the 20-year-olds. 20-year, okay. There's a tendency. Amen. How many been in church over 5 years? Raise your hand, been in church over 5 years. Okay. There's a tendency that you have. Five, how many of 5 years is a lot of preaching? Amen. So I'm not trying to raise up a Pentecostal church. I'm trying to raise up a biblical church. I'm trying to raise up a godly church. And if I slap your flesh a little bit, you know what? Don't be offended. How many know offense is a tool? How many know offense is the main tool of Satan? Okay, and all of a sudden, you know what? Well, you know, pastor ticked me off, and listen, I'm not gonna do it all right anyway. Amen. How many know that's true? But how many know I'm at least smart enough to know my main goal isn't to offend you? You know, and you think, ooh, let me take some notes. look at my notes. I don't have on my notes. You know what? You know what? Offend the people. Amen. Do you see any place where I wrote offend? Make sure you tick people off tonight. Do you see that there? It's not on my notes, okay? It's not on my notes. You say, yeah, but you know what? But then first you told us to come up front. Then you told us to switch. Now you're telling me if I've been in church for more than 20 years, I might not. Man. Okay. Hey, how many know my role is to speak the message of God? Here, listen. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became mature, I put away childish things. All eyes up, right up here. Let's put away childish things. Let's stop being offended because, you know what, pastor tells me to bring a notepad, and I don't want to bring a notepad. Amen? Amen. How many believe that, you know what, I need to just give the message that God has for us? Yes. Amen. So we're in praise and worship the other day. And I'll use George as an example. The reason I'm using George as an example is because I believe he can handle it. I'm serious. And we're just praising and worshiping. And I saw George, and his hands were just kind of like this. Do you remember this, George? And what did I do? What did I do? Tell him what I did.
My arm.
Yeah, I came over and I lifted up his arms.
Amen.
There it is. Come on.
And I, And I did that in front of everybody. And it wasn't just George. There was another two interns that I lifted up their hands higher than. There was just this casualness. And I'm not saying, listen, George's heart might have been 180 into God. Pastor Bradford used to worship God like this. I wish Pastor Bradford was still here because I'd love for him to come and minister to you. He was a wonderful pastor and tough as nails. I mean, you know what? He'd would go in his office and he would just nail us on. It was just boom, boom, just beat us. And then he'd go, guys, don't take it personal. It's like all the last five things you said were all about, you know, anyway. But ultimately, the staff absolutely loved Pastor Bradford. But Pastor Bradford used to, you know what, just raise his hands like this. That's how we worship. And if you looked at the staff, you know what, it's the law of the lid. And we would, and you'd look at the staff, and the staff would help you like this. So I'm not judging. I wasn't judging George's heart. He could have misunderstood me to judge his heart. But I've been teaching about putting away the casualness in our worship. How many are hearing me say that over and over again? And I've even mocked, you know, come on over here and just mock this, you know, kind of cool cat stance. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying to everyone as a church, to be passionate, to come in to the courts with praise. And what does that mean? There were these outer courts that in the temple that God wanted people to start getting happy even before they got inside. And so by the time you get through those doors, you know what? I hear the Lord saying, be happy. I told the staff today, you know what? I want an expectation of joy. I said, I don't even care. We're going to look at it probably tonight. I don't even care if you fake it. Amen? Oh, I heard, I would like to take credit for this, but I can't because I didn't say it. Where are my notes? Yeah, I told George tried to take my notes, huh? Whatsoever you practice, you develop. Whatsoever you practice, you develop. And that's what I want. I want us to start, you know, well, I'm not sincere. Well, get sincere. Well, I'm not grateful. Well, get grateful. And do it in the parking lot, amen? And as you're walking in, make a decision. Think if each step is what you're happy about, what you're thankful for. I'm telling you what, there's not a step you could make in the day. If every step was a step where you had to be grateful, you had to list something grateful. You know what? You could step all day, and at the end of the day, I guarantee you, you'd have more things to be grateful for. Can you, somebody say amen to this? And so, you know what? I'm hearing, and so what happened in that service is I heard the Holy Spirit quicken me, and I saw George over there, and I just went over there, and I lifted up his hands. Higher. Somebody say higher. And then I lifted up two interns' hands higher. Amen. You say, Pastor, why didn't you lift up my hands higher? I don't know. Maybe I felt like you couldn't handle that. Amen. Maybe I thought that, you know what, if I'm not saying I didn't think any of that. But how many of the Holy Spirit might have picked three people who could handle it? Amen. I'm asking, could have you handled it? You know what? Would have you got upset? Would have you said, no, you embarrassed me, amen? And you know, well, listen, well, just get your hands up, amen? Amen. So I don't think you should have to get your hands up. I am smiling, right? Well, you know what? The Bible thinks you ought to get your hands up. The Bible says lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. Amen? See, that's a, and you say, well, yeah, but I don't feel like doing. Well, you know what? There, how many know you're going to be in trouble if all you do is what you feel like? Amen. I should get a big amen on that one. How many know you're going, if all you do is what you feel like doing, you're going to get in trouble. We need to toughen up. We need to get used to. We need to be able to take direction, simple direction, and be able to grow. You know what? Somebody who is humble and takes direction from their pastor, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see people who are growing. Amen. And some of the best examples of people that are growing in our church are, you know what? What I see is people who will take direction. Amen? Can you say amen to this? How many want to grow? Amen? Then here's what I'm saying. Then take direction. And let's grow up as a church. Amen? Let's have, how many know that, I remember when I was in the fourth grade, they would ask for, they would pick volunteers to go to the second graders and ask them and help them read. Okay. And I don't know why, but the teacher selected me. How many would raise it? You're not going to hurt my feelings. How many know I might not be the smartest person on the fourth grade to help a second grader know how to read? Amen?
Come on.
Right. Amen. I don't want to say amen because you're polite, but that's the truth. And I remember, true story, going over to the second grade class, sitting down, and these weren't the advanced readers in the second grade. These were the lower readers in the second grade. And I had a true story. I remember someone missing a word or having a hard time pronouncing a word, and I didn't know how to pronounce. I didn't know what it was either. And I remember another second grader would correct them and teach them how to, what the word was, how to say the word. And I'd be sitting there thinking, oh, dang, that's pretty good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, does that make sense? But what I'm saying is, you know what, that, and I'm not saying I'm the smartest person in the world. I'm not saying I'm the most spiritual person in the world. What I'm saying is God is trying to raise us up. Watch this. See, here's my illustration. I wasn't the best reader, and so I wasn't a good person to have help the second graders read. Watch this. I might teach you something. So this person is coming in new, and what do they see? They go, whoa, I've never seen a church like this, where all these rows. Man, these people, they're all sitting up front.
Amen, amen.
Wow, trip out. And when he says, you know what, this is your Bible, almost everyone, listen to me. Bring a Bible to church.
Yeah.
I said, bring a Bible to church. Why? Because that's our life manual. That's the word of God. Amen. That's what we're studying from. Listen, and some people, and I understand this, I get it, I understand this, because I'm old school too. You know what I mean? Some people think, I'm going to challenge some of you older people.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah, yeah.
How many older people can be challenged? Amen.
Oh, come on,
okay. Somebody say, this is a Bible.
This is a Bible.
No, I'm not saying to say that. Some people say, this is a Bible. This is not a Bible. That's not a Bible, Pastor. You know what? That's not a Bible. This is not a Bible. That's not a Bible. Listen. This is a Bible. This is a Bible. And this is a Bible. Listen, I talked to my teenagers and I asked them, why do you think this is a good Bible? And they gave me a bunch of answers. I have someone read to me the Bible almost every day. And they not only read to me the Bible, but they do it with a British accent. Amen. You know what? Shayla walked in the other day and I was listening to the word and they did the British accent and Shayla said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I just like it better. I just like it." Amen. But you know what? I can be at the DMV. How many ever been at the DMV for longer than 10 minutes? Amen. If you've been in the DMV for less than 15 minutes, I need to talk to you because I need to figure out how you did it. But how many know you can listen? You can be in the DMV, and I'm not saying that you can't bring your Bible, but you might be at the DMV waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and all that time because you have the Word. Do you understand that? And that doesn't mean that this isn't a Bible. It doesn't mean that this is better than this. But I'm just saying. Bring your Bible. They come in, and all of us have our Bibles raised, and all of us have a phone raised or an iPad raised or something raised up, and these people are like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." Now, watch this. How many know they might not have a Bible, but they might have an iPad or an iPhone. And somebody tell me what they're going to do. What are they going to do, Angel? Before they get the Bible app, what are they going to do as we're raising our hands and they see iPhones up too? What are they going to? What do you think they're going to do, Joanne? They're going. And listen, and for some of them, they have never, ever. They don't have their Bible on their iPad, you know what I mean, on their iPhone. But they're going to lift it up, and they're going to say, what are they going to say? This is my Bible. Amen. Now, what are they more likely to do? I tell you what, there's a high likelihood that week they're going to put a Bible on their iPad. Amen. Amen. Is that making sense? Does that make sense to anyone? They're going to say, this is my Bible. And so they're going to walk in there. They see you, and you're not casually in your worship. And you might not feel like it. You might, you know what? Isaac will say, raise your hands, or Isaac will say, clap, or Isaac will say, dance. And you might not feel like doing any of it. Amen? But you're doing it anyway. For those of you, and I'm not picking on older people, I'm just saying, you know what? Sometimes, in the worship, we think that that when Isaac says, you know what, I want everybody to dance, here's what we interpret. Yeah, but everybody under 40. Amen? How do we interpret it too sometimes? Sometimes we interpret it, you know what, all the ladies. Because I'm listening, I don't dance. Well, what I'm saying is, learn to stop declaring who you are and start living a life submitted to the Holy Spirit. What is that? That's a life where you are going to dance because Isaac, our worship leader, is asking you to dance before the Lord. Amen. You say, hey, but Pastor, I don't think I look that cool when I dance. I'm kind of dorky. You know what I mean? I'm saying, yeah, I don't know. I'm dorky. I'm not a good dancer. Well, who cares? You're probably not a good singer either. Maybe you're not a good clapper. You know what I mean? Maybe you're not any of that stuff. You know what I mean? I remember Mark Hankins. He's a pastor. He's a preacher. And a really funny guy, and I like listening to him. Listen to him a lot. Mark Hankins, you know what, was out of nowhere. And, you know, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to dance before the Lord. I want you to dance for me. And he was like, dance? There's no music. And you know what the Holy Spirit told him? He said, you know what? I love when you dance. What did he do? Here's what I'm saying. That as a church, you know what? You said, Pastor, I thought we were going to talk about walking in love. I am talking about walking in love. Because let me tell you what. We have to. The commandment of love is this. That, we'll look at it in a minute, but I'll just quote it. The commandment of love is this. That we love our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. What does that mean? What do you think Isaac, how many believe that Isaac is led by the Spirit? Let me ask again. I want a yes or a no. And if you don't raise your hand, here's what you're telling me. You don't think he is led by the Spirit. How many think Isaac, I'm not saying 100% he gets it right, but predominantly is led by the Spirit of God on Sunday mornings? How many think that?
Okay.
So, Here's what I'm saying. If you believe that, then Isaac says dance, but Isaac is led by, let me go deeper. What spirit do you think he's led by? And ultimately, really, there's only two spirits. Spirit of God and the demonic spirit. There's only two kingdoms. So if you believe that it's the Holy Spirit that is leading Isaac, then if the Holy Spirit says to dance, then what should we do?
Dance.
Then what should we do? Okay, but what if you don't feel like dancing? I'm asking. What? Come on, so I want 100% response. What if you don't feel like dancing? What should we do?
Dance.
What if we, and let me tell you, one of the things that keeps us from being obedient for the Holy Spirit is we're so, guys, thanks for paying attention. I really appreciate it. I come over here and I just see that you're receiving from God.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. What's your name? Johnny. Give me a, appreciate it, Johnny. What if you don't feel like it? Then do it anyway. What if you're, oh, here's what I started to say. Yeah, I came over here. Here's what's going on many times. Many times where, here's what the Bible says. In the end times, we will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And if you think that that can't get on us, you're just mistaken. Because that can. And many times, I'm just being brutally honest with you, but I'm doing this because I love you. Here's why. Because you're so, all of us can be this way. We get so self-absorbed about how we look, what's our style, who's looking at us. Can I tell you who's looking at you during Sunday service? Really? Yeah, you got in front of me, but that's good. But can I tell you who's, of the people who's watching you, can I tell you who's looking at you really? Nobody. Nobody is. Nobody is. You know what I mean? But you know what? But Tony can think everybody's watching him, and you know what? And George can think everybody's watching him, and Joanne can think everybody's watching her. And the truth is, Tony, nobody's watching you. George, nobody's watching you. Joanne, nobody's watching you. But what is it? It's a trick from Satan to get us being, and listen, and even if everybody's watching me, it shouldn't make any difference. We are, I used to say it in the North Sanctuary. I probably need to say it more often during praise and worship. But here's the reality. The reality is that these are not the performers, and you are not the audience. We corporately, with the worship team, but you are included, are the worshipers. And he is the one that we're worshiping. Amen. And so when the Spirit of God led by, listen, how in the world are we going to, listen, let me tell you, just see, We've got to have a biblical understanding. God wants to lead his people out of bondage. He picks Moses. And Moses wants to defer responsibility. And so, I can't talk right. Is that not what he's like? I don't know what I'm doing. Listen, read your Bible. Later on, at first, he takes his, who did he take with him? Aaron. He took Aaron. Was Aaron his brother-in-law or brother or what? His brother. Okay, so he takes his brother with him. But listen, you read a little, you just read a little bit, pretty soon, you know what? You don't even read about his brother speaking, amen? It's Moses who's the one speaking. See, here's what I'm saying. You get, you know, start to just move in faith to what God is asking you to do outside of the box. And what's going to happen, and listen, and this is very appropriate because we are so self, you know what? What we need to be as a church, and I'm trying to raise up this special church of incredible people who are going to, listen, the church, listen to me, the church is going to explode. But let me tell you how I believe the Holy Spirit is saying it's going to explode. It's going to explode as we start to have fourth graders who are doing the discipline to learning how to read, and then they'll be able to really help the second graders. Do you understand? God is looking to draw people to us from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, hundreds and thousands. But I believe that one of the things that God is saying to us as a church, and I've been saying it now for about 3 months, is start to prepare yourself. Start to be passionate. Start to be on fire. Start to be ready. Start to lay aside a casualness. Lay aside a carnality. Lay aside a willingness to say, no, I'm going to do it the way I've always done it, and I'm not going to change. I don't care what the pastor says. I don't care what Isaac says. No. Start to say, I don't care what I think. I don't care how I'm led by my flesh. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God as he leads me. I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm just asking, how many believe that Isaac is led by the Spirit of God? How many believe that Isaac is led by the Spirit of God? Raise your hands if you think Isaac is led by the Spirit of God. Then here's what I want you to do. I want you to be obedient. When he says clap, I don't want you to clap casually. When he says run, how many, let me ask you this. How many of you, if Jesus showed up, I'm asking, how many of you, if Jesus showed up this Sunday and he said, I want you to dance, I'm going to call you up front, right in the center, and I'm going to sit here and I want you to dance before me. And the worship team stopped even playing. There's no even music. I'm asking, how many would raise your hands and say, Pastor, I would unapologetically, with no hesitation, damn, I would start doing the ookie pookie right here in front of God just to please Jesus. Amen. How many would do that? How many would do that? Well, let me tell you what. You have the opportunity this Sunday.
Oh, there it is. Come on.
You have the opportunity this Sunday because the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. Let me tell you what. God, Jesus, is showing up this Sunday. And what he's looking for is for you to lay aside, you know what, your carnality. Lay aside your individualness. Lay aside the this is how I do it. Lay aside the no, I'm not going to do it because this is what I'm used to doing. He's asking us to lay aside that. He's asking us not only this in praise and worship, but he's asking us for us to start being excited about the Word of God, that people, and what is the purpose? Here's the purpose, because twofold. One, because that absolutely pleases him. Amen. And two, he's looking for us, all lights up here, well, follow me. He's looking for us to be able to help the second graders. How many have been coming to church more than 5 years? Raise your hand if you've been coming to church for 5 years. You know what? How many know that is a slew load of worship? A slew load of teaching. When I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. How many ever said a, how many ever saw a five-year-old in the grocery store? And the mom said, put the candy down. Now listen, don't get too upset with the five-year-old, because I'm going to turn the table in about 30 seconds. I'm just telling you. And that five-year-old, I've seen, I worked in the grocery store, I said 100 times. And that five-year-old looked at the mom and recognized the mom was kind of busy with the stuff, and she thought he was going to turn it down. That he opens up the candy. And she knows, she hears it. And she's like, I told you, put away the candy. But she's still far away. And he recognizes, I might be able to get both Reese's peanut butter cups in my mouth. But I'll probably get one of them, no problem, in my mouth. By the time she... And how many ever witnessed something like that in the grocery store? Okay. And I'm asking, and what do you feel like doing when that happens? Somebody said smacking. I didn't say that. I thought that, but I didn't say that. Okay. No, you want to discipline that child. You wanna you know what? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. What do you want to do, really? You want to discipline that parent, too. Okay. Here's all I'm saying is have that thing that is inside you, you know what that is? That's righteous indignation. Because what you're witnessing is a child in rebellion to the parent. And inside of you, the righteous side of you says, I'm telling you what. You get angry. What I'm suggesting is you be as angry with you in the casualness of a willingness to just let your flesh dictate. Stop allowing your flesh to dictate what you do in the service. And watch this. And start submitting to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm setting you up. How many believe that you should submit to the Spirit of God in the worship service? Raise your hand if you think you should. You should. Okay. If you think that you should, then, and if you think Isaac is led by the Spirit of God, or me for that matter, led by the Spirit of God, then what you should do is do whatever Isaac's asking you to do. Amen. And so, and I'm asking that not only take place, watch this, during the praise and worship, but during the preaching. So I'll say, you know, say amen to this. Here, take a wild guess what I want you to do. Say amen. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want you to say amen. And let me tell you what's going to happen. When you lift up your Bible and you say, this is my Bible, and you say it emphatically, you say it with passion. When you start worshiping God passionately, when you start to listen to the Word of God emphatically, not casually, but thinking what pastor's going to say is probably going to change my life, because I believe pastor doesn't have a message. He's got a message from God to me. And so I'm going to bring my notepad. I'm just going to flow with the pastor. I'm just going to flow with the pastor. If he says, say amen, I'm going to say amen. If he says, you know what, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, or whatever, you know, whatever things I say, you're going to be responsive to that. Or sometimes I'll give you another opportunity. I'll say, I'm going to say that again and give you a chance to shout or something. Here's what I'm saying. That, your pastor, I thought you were going to talk about walking in love. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't know all this, what do you talk about today? I talked about walking in love. Here, let me prove it to you. And we'll only have one passage of scripture that we have time to turn to tonight, and I have it right up here. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Man. How many know that should translate into worshiping God in a crazy radical way? Not in a hanging off the chandelier. How many know if somebody jumped on here, they could actually grab on one of those beams and hang and swing a little bit. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm not asking you to do that. You know what I mean? It's not what I want you to do. That's not what I'm asking you to do. What I'm asking you to do is to be passionate about things of God. Okay? About 3 weeks ago, I heard the Holy Spirit say, jump off the stage and do a lap for me. I said, Pastor, what do you do? I jumped off the stage and did a lap for God.
Nice.
Amen? I said, why did you do that? Because that's what I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me to do. Okay? All I'm saying is, listen, and for some of you, you're just so polite that you just don't ever want to do, you don't want to ever be, you've been taught not to show more than, you know what I mean, than, you know, you're good-hearted. All you want to do is not show off. So you temper that. Let me free you up a little bit. If I'm at an 8, you can go not to a 7, you can go to an 8. Matter of fact, here, let me help you out. If I'm in an 8, I say you're walking in rebellion if you're coming in at a 3. Why? Because you're out of order. Oh, all eyes up here. You're out of order. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Yeah, but that's not my personality. Yeah, listen. We can call it whatever we want. We can justify it. But it's out of order. If I'm an 8 and you're a 3, you're out of the order. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And listen, this should make you, what I'm saying shouldn't make you uncomfortable. This should make you uncomfortable. I'm going to say that again. What I'm saying shouldn't make you uncomfortable. This should make you uncomfortable. It should make you uncomfortable that you have no problem being a 3 when the pastor is trying to lead at an 8. Amen?
Amen.
Now, granted, if it's a quiet time, we've quieted everybody down, and I'm a 3, it is out of order to be an 8. But how many know, watch, all eyes up here, how many know this is as out of order as this is out of order? Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
I'll try it again. This is as out of order as this is out of order. Who cares? You know, you're like a bunch of people on the left side of the ditch. You know, at least I'm not on the right side of the ditch. Then a bunch of people on the right side of the ditch. Ooh, at least I'm not on the left side of the ditch. Who cares if you're here or here? We have thought that this is fine. No, we have thought this is wrong. If pastor's a 3, anybody is wrong who is an 8. How many could say amen to that? We understand that. But what we don't understand is when the pastor is an 8, when Isaac's an 8, when Angel's an 8, and we're a 3, we don't call that wrong. We call that our style. We think that's appropriate, and I'm telling you, it's completely, totally out of order. This is out of order, or so is this.
Amen.
And what I'm saying is, when we get to pastors and eight Wednesday people, and I say that to commend you because you're here on Wednesday. So Wednesday people are an eight. We got a whole bunch of people who are rocking it on Sunday. Amen. And the threes come in. Listen, when I talk about the threes or the second graders, I don't mean that demeaning in any way. I pray for people who would come in who are less mature than you are. But I would pray that you would be mature so you are able to influence these other people that are coming in. And they will just get swept in. They'll just go, whoa, you know what? And you know, listen, some of these people are used to, you know what, you know, getting down, play that funky music, white boy anyway. Hello? You know what? And I know that's not the cool cat. Actually, that's kind of retro. That's cool now. But whatever. I don't know all the cool hip-hop, you know what, jamming, party music. I don't know all that. All I'm saying is they're used to getting their groove thing on. Amen? Yeah, that was dated me, huh? Okay. But they're used to whatever they're, you know what? They're used to doing that. So when they come in and they see the Spirit of God doing that, you know, they're going to go to this whole level quickly. Amen? Yeah. Do you understand that? Amen. We don't have to have a church. We need to raise up a church where people are on fire for Christ. When the mature people are on fire for Christ and they understand submitted authority, they understand submitting to delegate, they believe that Isaac is led by the Spirit and they're not walking in rebellion, they're doing what Isaac is doing, they're in the same level that the worship team is, they're the same level that the band is in, they're the same level that the pastors are in, and guess what? And it works because the Bible says love never fails. Amen. What's the commandment of God? What's the second thing? And I'll end with this. This is the first and great commandment. But what's the second? And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And just love these people. Love these second graders that you're going to be able to teach them. Because you can read. Amen. Because you can worship God. And you'll be amazed how quickly these people will start to worship God. Start to bring their Bible. Start to bring their notepad. Start to sit in the front row. Start to say, whoa, man. They'll be walking, wow, man. Pastor was anointed today. Amen. How many learned something tonight? Okay. How many were challenged tonight? Raise your hand if you were challenged tonight. Raise your hand if God spoke some, I'm just asking. Raise your hand, I'm going to pray with you. Raise your hand if God has showed you some kind of correction that you needed to make. If that's you, raise your hand. Father, you see, thank you. You see the hands that are raised. And Father, I pray that you would help all of us to not be led by what we want, but to walk in love with you, and to walk in love with these other people that are coming in. Have there be no self-centeredness in us. What John the Baptist said, less of us and more of you. May we see that in our church, Father, and may we see it in a tangible way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.